This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
It's a Thursday morning. We get to say hello to Dr. Wendy Christian, health coach and wellness practitioner at Integrated Health Solutions. So if you've been sneezing and spluttering and this change of season really getting to you, you're at the right place and the right time to have this conversation with us. Good morning, Dr. Wendy. How are you?
Good morning, Brad. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not complaining on this side. After yesterday's hot weather, I'm very happy for a cooler day today. That suits me.
Yes, it is really nice. We're never happy, are we?
Nope, if it's either too hot or it's too cold, or we're having to deal with seasonal allergies and hay fever. To our listeners, part one was last week, if you want to catch up to the intro to that. Wendy, I guess today we get to step in and chat around some natural remedies that can help us out to keeping seasonal allergies at bay. That seems like a good place to start. So are you saying that maybe for us to go to the pharmacy and get those tiny little white pills might not necessarily be the only way to deal with this?
Yes, there are definitely other ways that we can help our allergies, and using antihistamines might be necessary in some cases, but in a lot of cases we can also help with the things that we're eating and with some other natural supplements that help to reduce that sensitivity in our bodies.
I've learned just recently about a thing called quercetin. And actually found out that there's a supplement that I take that has quercetin in it. And I thought, oh, well, I'm doing myself a favor. There's so many other health benefits to what I'm taking. Plus, it's got quercetin. And then I checked out. So I'd love to hear your thoughts as the professional. That can help with allergies, apparently.
The quercetin is a really good natural antihistamine. It's obviously a plant, and it contains flavonoids that help to stabilize the mast cells and reduce the release of histamine. And obviously, we take an antihistamine because we want to stop that release of histamine. It's that histamine response that causes us to sneeze and to cough and to react to all these environmental things and foods. And so quercetin helps just to naturally balance that out.
What else does it do for us? Because now I'm sure there's probably more to it than just being an antihistamine. It seems like a really good supplement to have in any case.
Yes, so it does have the antihistamine properties. It's also a natural anti-inflammatory. It has antioxidants, or it is an antioxidant. It supports our immune system. It also supports us with our cardiovascular health and our blood sugar regulation. And it's good for the respiratory system as well.
So where do we find quercetin? It's not just in supplements. It surely must be in something that we could eat as well.
Yeah, quercetin, it would be in any of your antioxidant-rich foods. So remember, your antioxidants are all your colorful foods, purples and reds and those kind of things. So it would be in some of those foods. There's not a specific food that I would particularly link quercetin to. Ah. You know, like if I think about bromelain, I would think about a pineapple. But with quercetin, I don't specifically think of a food off the top of my head anyway.
So I actually want to touch on this the antioxidant protection, and we've chatted around antioxidants in the past and free radicals. So can you help us to quickly understand how that works?
Yes. So with free radicals, our bodies produce these free radicals in the process of anything inflammatory, or even just in the in cellular processes, and so. If we don't have anything to mop up those free radicals, so you basically need to be able to pick them up and get rid of them almost as quickly as they're being produced. And if we can't, then we have this buildup of free radicals in our body, which creates damage to our cells. And that makes us age faster. So we want to be able to reduce that. And quercetin is one of the antioxidants that does help with that.
I think there's a lot of people that struggle with diabetes or pre-diabetic, and then I guess we just want to also regulate blood sugar anyway. Can we touch on that quickly? I know we're stepping away slightly from seasonal allergies, but I think this is such an amazing supplement, quercetin. How does it work in that context of blood sugar?
So with blood sugar regulation, it's also helping with the inflammation. And it's helping to regulate how the body is releasing various different chemicals. And so it lowers that insulin sensitivity, and it regulates the blood sugar in that way.
Wow, that's really powerful. And then you also said that there was some cardiovascular support. I just want to check on more on that.
Yes. So it does lower your blood pressure, and or it helps to lower blood pressure. And it does that by improving the function of the blood vessels. And it can reduce the oxidation of cholesterol. So we've spoken about antioxidants and free radicals. If our cholesterols become oxidized, they are much more damaging to our vessels. And so it helps to reduce that unfriendly, the LDL cholesterol, and it reduces the oxidation of those. So the plaque buildup in the arteries is much less.
I'm quite taken now about the quercetin. I mean, I knew about the natural antihistamine, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, cardiovascular support. You said blood sugar regulation. This is quite a yes. supplement. Oh, my goodness.
It is. It is very beneficial. And I have thought of some foods.
Okay, good.
Sorry, that slipped my mind.
No, that's quite all right.
Carry on.
No, I was just going to say we're talking here about it, and I'm sure everybody's saying, well, this could really benefit me. I'd love to go and check this out at my health food store. But I'm saying surely this must be found naturally somewhere. So I guess that was my question.
Yes. No, it is. And there's actually quite a few foods that specifically do have quercetin in. So we find them in apples, especially with skin on. They're also present in onions, with the red and the yellow onions being the richest forms. Mm. The berries that we spoke about, the red foods, so the grapes, red wine even a little bit. Sometimes, however, if you're having the red wine, the sulfur is going to be a trigger for histamine production. So you might not want to be drinking that if you are suffering with histamine issues. Your citrus fruits, and then your green and your black tea, and then your green vegetables. Again, we're speaking about antioxidant vegetables, so broccoli and kale and those kind of green vegetables.
Okay, so now since we're talking about the need for antihistamine or a natural antihistamine, and since we're talking about seasonal allergies and hay fever, how much quercetin does one need? Can one say, okay, you need to eat so many apples or so much kale? I mean, that's pretty difficult to judge. So, I mean, how much quercetin is actually going to be beneficial?
Well, in a food, it's very different to when you're buying it in a tablet form.
Yeah.
So you can't really overconsume. Well, you can, I suppose, but it would be very difficult to consume, you know, a whole bag of apples in one go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are eating it in your foods, it's unlikely that you're going to overdose on it. But if you are supplementing with it, you do need to be careful of the amounts that you are consuming.
Okay.
And if you're buying it in a supplement form, you want to have between 500 and 1,000 milligrams a day, which is usually in a split dose. So you would normally have 500 in the morning and 500 in the evening. But you do need to be careful if you are taking it in supplement form. It's not necessarily good for everybody, as we've said with many of the other things before. Mm. And it can also interact with certain medications. So we do want to be careful if we're taking things like antibiotics, blood thinners, any form of chemotherapy. We do want to check first before we rush out and buy a supplement.
So if we're not really dealing with those things you mentioned, blood thinners or chemotherapy drugs or antibiotics, it's fairly safe?
For the average person, yes. Ah. It's usually quite safe, yes.
Quercetin. I have a sneaking suspicion. I happen to have heard the word not too long ago. It's the first time I ever heard it. And I'm quite fascinated. You know, we've all heard vitamin C, you know, and all of these things we've heard. So, but then these new names that appear. And then quercetin, some people say, never heard of quercetin. So I'm loving all of these things that are popping up that are actually really beneficial. So let's go to good old faithful. What about vitamin C?
Yes, so vitamin C also has natural antihistamine properties. It's also good for our immune systems, and we find that in so many different foods. So, you know, our citrus fruits, we all know that citrus fruits are high in vitamin C, but if you aren't able to eat citrus fruits, if there's an allergy or if you're suffering with other inflammatory conditions and you need to reduce those, other fruits like kiwi fruits are also very high in vitamin C. Guavas are high in vitamin C. Cherries. And then vegetables would be your peppers and your leafy greens.
I had the opportunity over the last while to connect with quite a number of bee farmers and be chatting to different of these bee farmers. And we had conversations around the different kinds of honeys and the pollen that's used. And that can help with adapting to local pollens. So how true is that?
That is very true. So if the bees are pollinating from the plants and the flowers around us in our environment, and we're consuming that honey, that helps your body to naturally build up antibodies against those particular allergens. So we can be much less likely to respond to those plants if we are desensitized through the honey.
I find that fascinating. If only I liked honey, Wendy, I really don't. I'm a very easygoing guy and I'll pretty much eat or drink anything. You know, I'm willing to give everything, even unusual things, a try. Honey, I just can't. I don't like the taste of it. No, it's bizarre. I want to like it, but I don't.
Yes.
Which is kind of ironic. My wife for a period of selling honey. That's why I had these conversations with the bee farmers about these things, which I find so fascinating. This is really a fantastic conversation. Quercetin, I'm not sure how many of you listening this morning have even heard about quercetin. I'm sure you're going to be doing some research and finding out more. You're welcome to share this podcast or this Facebook Live of this conversation this morning with somebody that you feel could really benefit from that. And we ain't done yet. We'll pick this up again next week and we'll chat through a few more things. We've just touched on quercetin, vitamin C, and local raw honey, and there's still more to come. And we're so grateful that we get to do this alongside you. Thanks for your expertise and for your time. And we thoroughly enjoy our moments with you on a Thursday. So much love and appreciation to you, Wendy. Have a really great day.
Thanks so much, Brad. You have a great day too.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.